Start the recording, start the broadcast.
Okay.
Okay, who's going to run the meeting? Commissioner Fedorchuk, Commissioner Crispin?
I'm here.
Which one of you would like to begin the meeting?
I can do that.
It's more sighting oriented, I agree.
Okay, 1 second here. All right, are we ready?
Yes.
Okay. We are gathered.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. This is Julie Fedorchak. I'm a commissioner with the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We are gathered telephonically and over the internet for a special meeting, a special work session to discuss a case that doesn't have a number yet. And we're calling it the True Company Gathering to Transmission Line. And so I am here. I believe Commissioner Crispin is also on the telephone. We have staff on site in the PSC hearing room, as well as at our public access point in the Capitol. Is it the Prairie Room? I can't remember what we're in. From the
It's a Roosevelt room.
Oh, Roosevelt Park room. I'm sorry. Jack Shue is in the Roosevelt Park room. And so with that, I think we also have our staff, Pat Fawn, on the telephone, and we have Brian Johnson and Jack Shue, our attorneys, available. They have been in contact with the company. I don't know if we have Commissioner Crosses on the phone or not. Has he joined us? Apparently he has not joined us. So with that, I think that it would be best that the company did provide some very helpful information, a map that shows their various pipeline infrastructures and the pipeline in question here. And they provided some background information, some written background information as well. And so I guess I would turn it over to staff, either Pat or Brian or Jack, whoever would like to walk us through this and kind of lead the discussion from this point on in terms of what you'd like us to respond to or be thinking about or direction you need.
If Patrick Fawn's on the phone, maybe he would be best to start to speak to this because I know he's been intricately involved. I can speak to this, but I think Brian has also been actively engaged, so I would turn it over to him to walk us through some of the facts or some of the issues that we may need to discuss for this work session. Pat, are you there?
I am.
Okay.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Pat.
Okay. The maps provide a pretty good picture. The maps that were provided by Bell Swoosh provide a good picture of the situation. We're talking about the pipeline segment from approximately Johnson's Corner to the Wilson Station. And you can see the pipeline from Wilson Station to Bowline in green was the one that the commission issued an order granting a certificate and permit for a conversion from gathering to transmission. But the Johnson's Corner to Wilson Station line, we have not, we don't have an application for that at this point to convert it from gathering to transmission, but that is the line that we're talking about today that they want to put in service. Bell Swoosh would like to put that in service as a transmission line. Because of the current situation in the oil market. And in order to do that, what they need to do is just open a valve at Johnson's Corner. Are there any questions the commissioners have for me?
Pat, that would allow them to have two routes, the primary route and the secondary route. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Because of demand. Okay.
Yeah, that's my understanding from their the document they provided.
What are your concerns, Pat?
I guess a couple of things that aren't really related to what we need to do at the one of them that's not related to what we have to do at the commission. But I think PHMSA needs to be notified whenever a gathering line has changed function to a transmission line. So I'm wondering if the company has done that. Typically, I guess the process is much more involved than we could accomplish in a short time frame. You know, typically the company would file an application for a corridor certificate and a route permit, and the commission would issue a notice of hearing for that request. In this case, the company is asking for the opportunity to use this as a transmission line in the interim. My understanding is they plan on filing an application for the line, but that would take some time to do that, to get that put together.
And so what process do you guys envision for considering this and allowing it if that's the direction we go?
I think that's where Jack comes in.
Sure, and Brian and I had some short conversation about this. Commissioner, of course, this is a situation, and Pat, before I get started, they did previously operate this. Is that correct? Until they were notified that they should not? Is this the correct line?
This is the line that's colored red on our map.
Right.
That is the line that they have. They had on occasion operated as a transmission line.
Okay. So currently, I guess if they would be operating, they would be operating outside of compliance. However, usually the siting process is set forth to really set forth the location, operation, and maintenance prior to the line being constructed. There isn't really an express area in the Siting Act that describes how this type of process should go forward. So I guess I would propose, if the commission is looking to go forward and possibly allowing this, make this express that this pipeline should be getting into compliance, get a commitment to ensure that they will be filing a siting application as soon as possible, possibly be get a timeline set out by the company. And then with the staff could provide a response to the company saying that they may be able to operate on the interim due to the circumstances as they are at their own risk, subject to them filing this application and any additional follow-up information that I think Pat would need to ensure that he believes that there are probably minimal adverse effects from the operations.
Can you elaborate
just to clarify.
On
go ahead, Randy. Sorry.
What do you mean? What was the part about at their own risk? You mean that we might just change our mind and bring a case against them over it?
Well, I think.
Or you mean
sure.
The risk, like from PHMSA or someone?
Oh, Commissioner, I guess what I would be we'd be communicating in essence is the fact that we can bring enforcement action against a company for violating outside of the law or outside of compliance. However, in this, considering the circumstances, we would not be looking, and staff wouldn't be looking to really, they'd be using their discretion not to in this case. However, That being said, of a third party, such as a member of the public or PHMSA or somebody else, finds some sort of issue with it, they would be able to at least bring a case forward. It just would not be at the commission's prerogative to do so, which can happen in any sort of case, Commissioner.
This is Pat. I guess I was thinking too that it wouldn't preclude staff from bringing a case based on the fact that they had operated this line as a transmission line in the past.
And that was one of my original questions. Do we have an ongoing violation case or not?
My understanding is and Pat could probably speak to this a little more. There was some sort of at least the commission expressed or a commissioner expressed that it should be investigated into. And so it may require us to wrap up some loose ends, maybe some consent agreements on that, or find that enforcement isn't necessary before we provide this type of discretion moving forward.
Okay, so that would be one step, wrap that up, and then you mentioned, Jack, that the company would they be filing something in addition to what they've provided here? Is that the expectation, or is this considered their filing? And then you mentioned that Pat would need some sort of a filing to be able to say or to propose to us that we grant them the ability to move forward with using the pipeline, subject to them providing a timeline for converting this formally and getting into official compliance.
Commissioner Fedorchuk, that's correct. We would anticipate filings from the company prior to taking any sort of action. We would open a case, a docket, put this information in there, also the staff's response to the company as well.
Okay, so can we, after whatever we decide today, I mean, I'd like to move forward with this. I don't know how you're feeling, Randy, but I think that it's the infrastructure is in the ground and it's available, and I think it's prudent to allow the company to use this infrastructure and attempt to, you know, minimize some of the economic fallout that's occurring everywhere we look right now. So I think we should move forward personally and would like to then get some specifics to the company so they know what they have to file and, you know, so that they can do that, turn around and get that to us and get this rolling in a timely manner.
I think we're on the same page, but my thought is, yeah, I would like to see this open and get that product moving. It's operated safely in the past. I see no reason why it wouldn't now. In the meantime, if there's a time frame on applying for getting a siting application in, I think it's going to have to have some out on it, because if they said they're going to have it in 60 days or 90 days or whatever it takes to put it together, but this virus situation drags on and they can't bring in environmental crews to do assessments and things like that, we're going to have to be understanding that that could take longer than planned. All that being said, I would hope that the company, with us making this kind of a good faith effort to allow this in the interim, would be just as much good faith and work with our staff on also agreeing, hopefully, to some kind of a settlement on a previous violation.
I agree with both of those points, Randy. That being the flexibility on the timeline, or being realistic about that, and then also
just making a good faith effort in all parties in the company to wrap up that previous violation and get that in the books, be done with it, move this forward.
Well, can we, and this is kind of a question more for Jack than for you, Commissioner, but could we authorize this on a kind of a temporary basis? And then if it turns out that once again they get to use it when they really need it, but they're not cooperative on the other two factors, they would know that we can also end this temporary arrangement just as quickly.
Commissioner, I think you would have the discretion to do that. So we would be able to set forth a time frame in which we expect to receive any sort of requirements that you guys are hoping to have. Do you have any thoughts on that, Commissioner Chrisman?
Not so much. I think the time frame is something that I don't know that it even needs to be specified, or maybe because I have no idea what a reasonable time frame would be for them to get the application completed as far as citing it for going forward. But as far as wrapping up the loose ends from the previous operation of this, I would prefer not to even have the time frame in there. I think we approve this, and next week they should be working with staff, and if it just turns out that they're not being at all cooperative on it, then maybe we will talk about this next week again, whether we should continue to allow it to be used.
Commissioner Chrisman, and this is something that Brian Johnson could speak to a little bit too, because I know he's been engaged in the consent agreement with along with Pat. We could, what it sounds like to me is what I'm hearing is that you're going to provide, to do what you guys are saying, you're providing staff discretion to make the determination that they should be allowed to operate subject to a consent agreement being filed, wrapping up the previous possible violations. And probably also some additional application being filed in the future, and an affidavit and a time frame for that. Does that sound accurate?
No, that doesn't really sound like what I'm trying to articulate.
Okay.
I'm suggesting more that we take an action now, and I mean, if like we have to call PHMSA first or whatever we have to do, but I'm saying we go ahead and approve this. You go ahead and open the valve and use it.
Okay.
Staff should go ahead and authorize that.
Okay.
But in the coming days or weeks, the staff gets back to me as a commissioner and says, there's just no progress on a violation settlement, and they show no interest in any future application. Well, then maybe we'll address this again and suspend this approval.
Okay. I think that's... that's also doable. We can put that in the staff response to the filings that we receive.
This is just a temporary, and we can end it too.
Commissioners, this is Brian. In my initial speaking with their counsel on this, what we had discussed was them filing a waiver of application, a timeline and procedure, which requires a hearing by the commission where you guys could determine that it appears to be safe. And I think, and unless Jack disagrees with me and I haven't had a chance to talk to him about this, we could issue an order that makes this contingent upon them completing an application, settling the consent agreement and moving forward in that manner. Those are requirements under the waiver of timeline that there has to be a hearing, and that I think the commission's order coming out of that could direct us in the direction we need to go on these other issues and be contingent upon the successful completion of the application, at a reasonable time and some other things.
Are you saying, Brian, that is the step that follows this initial approval that Randy has outlined today? Or are you saying not, that valve doesn't open until we do everything you just outlined?
I think that's where we get to where Jack was saying it's kind of the, if the company's listening, and what they should be hearing is that we're not interested in pursuing an additional violation or making an issue out of them opening the valve now, and that we're going to expect them to move forward with these things. Could there be ramifications from them doing that? We can't say 100% no, because there's other entities that could cause us and bring forth a complaint. But at this point, I think what we're saying is we're not interested in that. We want to move forward, and that's kind of where we're trying to go.
I guess the one issue that I would have with the waiver of time procedures and schedules, the hearing, it would not be for the application hearing, and I might have just misinterpreted what you're saying. The hearing would have been on the waiver. So that would still require that notice period to extend the notice of opportunity at the very least for any sort of waiver of time procedures and schedules, if that's the mechanism we're looking at.
Is there a different mechanism? I think what you're saying, it was the answer to my earlier question was yes, that what Brian or what Randy has outlined is this. You guys are basically saying the company can open that valve right now, and we aren't going to, staff isn't going to pursue a complaint on that. There may be somebody else that could do it, but it's unlikely. We aren't going to. And then meanwhile, they should do the filing for that waiver, as you kind of discussed with their staff attorney, and we'll go through the official process, which includes the notice. But they will be operating. and we have agreed not to pursue a violation of their operating without that complete waiver completed first.
The one issue with the waiver provision, though, is that we'd have to have a finding that there are minimal adverse effects, which is essentially what we'd be doing with a reciting hearing. And so we would be usually... you'd be waiving these provisions after you receive a citing application, because we have everything that we need to make a decision. So it'd be difficult for us to make the decision, even though this, as we all know, a gathering of transmission that's, you know, is already operating is probably a very little concern. It'd be difficult to make that ultimate decision. We'd essentially be making the citing decision before having a citing application.
So what's the format you envision then, Jack?
Well, you know, this is a little bit fluid from the aspect that this is really isn't set out in law. So I was thinking that we would continue the way just Brian expressed without the waiver of time procedures and schedules, subject to them filing the application within a period of time. And, of course, then they would subsequently file that application, we review it, and we would be working to get them into compliance. So the whole idea that from that aspect is, we understand this was a technical change to the pipeline. We think you're in non-compliance. You can continue to operation contingent upon you moving to getting into compliance.
And what are you envisioning? Some sort of formal order like that, or what do they apply for, and what do we act on officially in that regard? In the process that you're outlining?
In the process that I'm outlining, we pretty much we would just receive a documentation explaining the situation, the circumstances. They'd get a response based upon what you provided here today, saying you can temporarily begin operation subject to us reviewing a siting application and you're moving towards getting this pipeline in compliance.
Okay, so what you're outlining is we've already got the filing. They've sent us that. Response to this initial filing. I'm not saying an application, just what they've already provided gives us the rationale, right?
Right. So they will provide us a filing. They should provide us the steps they're going to take to get into compliance, and we're essentially saying you can operate on the interim as long as you're meeting these steps to get in compliance.
Okay. And one of those steps to get into compliance would be a some sort of an agreement on the past violation.
Yes, that item, it sounds like that's the path the commission would like to go from what I'm hearing.
And are they to provide this before they open that valve in your mind?
I think that would be I mean, which specific thing are they supposed to provide? This paperwork initially explaining in the consent agreements or the explanation of timeline to get into compliance?
The explanation of the timeline and the steps they're going to take to get into compliance.
I would envision they would provide that before they open that valve.
And I don't know if this helps, commissioners, but this is the same line that I can't remember what year it was, but 404, the Wilson to Bow line, this is the same line. This is basically the same thing. They came to us and we told them that it was now a transmission line and they had to file an application. So it's very similar to that case and directly tied to that case as it is the same line, just a continuation of it.
Right.
The thing is, though, us delaying might be an issue to this company. It's an issue to a lot of other companies and employees and workers and mineral owners, too. And
how do you feel we're delaying?
I don't like. Pardon me?
How are we delaying?
Well, by not allowing them to begin operations while they get those things filed that were just being discussed.
Commissioner.
In my opinion, they could file that yet today, have a company meeting and outline a timeline and a plan for coming into compliance. That shouldn't take long. And a commitment to tie up that previous violation. I mean, unless I'm missing something, they had planned on doing it this summer at any point anyway, so especially recognizing that we're going to be flexible on the timeline if things get held up longer because of the COVID-19. So
if you're concerned, Commissioner Crispin, about their receiving our letter, we could provide this letter saying you shall not, don't begin operation until you do provide the timeline. And in that case, it would be subject to them providing us this compliance timeline before they even hit open the valve. So that'd be contingent upon them actually giving that to us. And then they wouldn't be waiting for us. They would only be subject to their own filing.
Well, I don't know how they agree to in the issue of the previous. Potential violation. I don't know how they agree to a settlement on that when we haven't brought that against them and we don't have an amount on the table or anything like that. Now they can agree to work on a potential settlement, but they can't agree to something when they don't have it in front of them, nor can they really agree to a timeline for getting a siting application in. What, I mean, that's in a complicated process.
Commissioner Crispin, this is Brian again. We did receive a consent agreement from them. We did make our changes and send it back. So we're in the middle of negotiations on that consent agreement, and I don't see that holding us up or being an issue. I think we're actually fairly close to that concluding. So I guess right now at this point, that's not a concern to me. I think we will reach an agreement on that shortly.
Well, I think it would be best to have that wrapped up and just an initial timeline. I mean, the timeline could be, I don't know, Randy, I think you're making it more complicated than I think it needs to be. Just we intend to cite this and complete the permitting in, you know, this year, pending any difficulties with getting the studies completed by COVID-19 and some sort of a, you know, notification, a progress report on how things are going once or twice throughout that process. And so we are up to speed. I don't think it needs to be, you know, they don't have to say we're going to file this document on such and such a date and this on that date or whatever. I mean, just commit to getting it done this year and providing some sort of a caveat if things get held up with studies because of this, the restrictions on this virus.
Well, I mean, okay, so when you explain it, it sounds much more simple maybe than when Jack explained it. So if it is, that it's something that they can move forward quickly and just submit a electronic letter to us and get it in, and that will suffice in order to move this forward and allow opening of the valve, then I'm good with that. And as for any potential settlement, you know, it's supposed to be something that's kind of being negotiated between advocacy and them. And at this point, I feel uncomfortable using that as the timeline and then giving advocacy staff a big extra bargaining chip over them that they know they have to agree to something that might be excessive. So all I'm expecting is that they bargain in good faith on that and come up with a fair settlement and not just drag it out. So however that can be done, as long as I really want to see product moving.
I agree, and they say April of 2020, so that's next week. They've got nominations for shipping, so I think that, you know, they're eager to get this taken care of, and I'm optimistic that with this flexibility and this plan, we can do that and still maintain the integrity of the intent of the Siting Act.
Okay, that sounds good. And if it's struggling to move forward, I'm sure we'll hear about it early next week again.
Did Brian Krosius have some input you needed to share on his behalf, Jack?
Commissioner Fedorchuk, I think my understanding of Commissioner Krosius's input was very much in line with the both of you. I think he reviewed it. He didn't have a lot of concerns with them beginning operation. He just wanted to have staff review it and be comfortable with it prior to allowing it to open up.
Okay. So do we have a clear direction? Does it make sense to you guys what we've discussed and decided?
Maybe I'll try a recap, and I hope I don't make it as confusing, Commissioner Christman, this time. really, staff is getting direction to allow them to begin operation. Of course, that immediately or upon their filing. And their filing will give us a plan of how they plan to move forward in getting in compliance with the Siting Act, as well as we may review this in the future, or may review the previous violations in the future, or operations if consent agreements aren't filed for the previous violations moving forward. So I probably just made that complicated again, but does that sound accurate to both of you?
No, this time it sounded pretty good to me.
Okay.
The only part that I still am not completely clear on is the last part. So are you saying move forward in good faith on the consent agreement, or let's finish that up and get that done?
Moving forward in good faith, and of course there would be an incentive for them to get that done. Otherwise, we may have to revisit this.
Okay, I'm fine with that. Okay. I do hope they get. I would be thrilled if they just decided to finish that up and be done with that at the same time as this. So I think it would just be good to get that off the table.
Okay. I wouldn't mind hearing.
I agree.
I wouldn't mind hearing Patrick Fahn's thoughts on this, too. I know he's intricately involved with this with Brian Johnson. I haven't heard much from him for a little bit.
Well, I guess my recap, I guess what I heard was that we're going to wait for something from the company and then respond to that as staff. And in the response, we would expect, or in the company's filing, we would expect to see some kind of proposal related to timelines for completing the working on a consent agreement, in the shorter time frame, and then further out working on the application to bring everything into compliance.
I guess, Pat, the one thing, and this is Jack, that I guess I heard a little bit differently, was not that they would wait for something from us, but that we would provide them that direction and that they would not begin operation until they file that with us. So that would not be contingent upon us receiving a response from them, or them receiving a response from us, but upon them actually making the filing.
Okay, so now I'm confused.
Okay. Well, I guess, so the
you're
first...
You're going to send them a letter today.
Yes.
You guys are going to send them a note today saying, we need you to, you are free to go. As soon as you get to us a filing that includes a timeline for coming into compliance on citing this permit and good faith commitment to wrap up that consent agreement on previous potential violation. And as soon as they get that to us, I mean, they can start operation. They just have to get us that document outlining those two things.
They can start. Are you saying they can start operation before they get that to us?
As soon as they get that to us, they file that with us, and they're good to go. But we don't have to respond to that. They don't have to wait for us to respond to that document.
I think I'm clear now.
I just want to clarify one thing. I'm thinking when you said send them a letter, I'm talking about an electronic one that goes out this afternoon yet, not that we throw in the mailbox and see when it gets there, that they know today yet. Because they may have, or even just call them. What we've finally resolved in our minds now, I think, that is clear, maybe they're sitting listening to this and unable to respond and ask questions and clarify, and they might not even understand fully. But I think it's pretty clear, but we definitely want to get something to them today so that they know over the weekend what we're waiting for.
Commissioner Christman, I Brian and I are both just came in the office for this specific. We probably can wrap something up pretty quick and send it out probably within the hour. Giving them the direction necessary to move forward.
Perfect.
That would be wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I think that's all staff had. And we think we have the direction we need to move forward.
Excellent. Randy, do you have anything more?
I do not. Stay safe, everyone.
Nor do I. So this work session on the Belfouche pipeline is officially concluded. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Appreciate everyone coming in and getting this taken care of today.